It's the David Bowie tribute right here on Cortina Nights. We've still got a couple of hours of this great music left. And in a moment, we'll be hearing from the lady who became David Bowie's landlady and his lover. This is Changes.
Waiting for, and my time was running wild, a million dead end streets. And every time I thought I'd got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
There's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me, but I can't trace time. Watch the ripples change the sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to blow up out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's your shame? Your left is up to her next to me. Time may change me, but you can't twist time. Strange fascination. Our changes are taking the pace I'm going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Oh, look out, you rock and rollers.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Pretty soon now you're gonna get old. Said that time may change me, but I can't trace time.
What would you say was the most influential thing in the 70s on music?
Well, it wasn't Vera Lynn, was it?
It certainly wasn't.
I couldn't possibly say the people. Yeah. More than anything else, the people really created changes.
We're coming to town, baby.
It's Steve Orchard on Cortina Nights presenting the David Bowie special. Good evening. In David Bowie's early years as a performer, he helped organise a folk club in the commuter town of Beckenham in Kent, along with his then landlady, Mary Finnegan. Beckenham doesn't seem the obvious place for the birth of one of the UK's most creative musical artists. Does it?
This is true. It was a very dull, sleepy, commuter dormitory, and it is certainly still that. But during that brief period between April and September 1969, it was transformed into a creative cauldron, and everybody was drawn in, because what we did when we started, David Bowie and I started the folk club at the Three Towns Pub, we did it primarily as a cash flow potential, because we were both very broke. It was so instantaneously successful. We turned it into a kind of replica of the London clubs, Uso and Middle Earth, and it had a sort of Haight Ashbury feel to it as well. Lots of light machines and incense and Indian rugs and cushions and things. And that happening in the dingy back room of a pub in Beckenham High Street was so phenomenally attractive to the young people of that era that they came in droves to take part in it. And of course, David, being a consummate professional, even at the age of 22, put on a fantastic show in terms of the music. And the atmosphere was so totally in keeping with the mood of the moment that it was electrifyingly successful. And we turned it into an arts lab, and we broadened its remit so that it was... the people who came were very, very creative in many fields. There were filmmakers and puppeteers and poets and writers of all description and printmakers. And they all started to do whatever they did, and then they sold it or they performed it at the Three Towns on the Sunday nights.
And you were packing them in at that point?
Oh yes, absolutely, jam-packed. It spilled out into the garden. It was just humongously successful.
I was walking down the high street when I heard footsteps behind me, and there was a little old man, scarlet and grey, chuckling away. I'm a laughing girl and you can't catch me. I'm a laughing girl.
Can I just take you back one step? You set the folk club up with David. How had you met him?
He was a friend of a chap called Barry Jackson, who lived with his wife Christina on the top floor of the sort of rather ancient Victorian building where I had the ground floor flat. And I was sitting in my garden one day in early April, just sunbathing, and I heard this very sophisticated music coming from their window, which was open about two floors above me. And so I called up who's playing, and this pale face with a halo of blonde curls around it popped out of the window and said, "It's me. Hello, I'm David. Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Mary. Would you care to come downstairs and have a cup of tea with me?" And he did. And we sat together in my living room and the kitchen, and we talked, and we had a great deal in common. And he was a very interesting person. He played some more songs for me. And I found him very attractive, instantaneously interesting. And before the night was over, he went back to Baron Christina's in the wee small hours. But before he did that, out of the blue, in a sort of totally spontaneous reaction, I said, "Would you like to come and stay with me? I have a spare room." And he said, "Yes, please." And so a couple of days later, he moved in as my lodger.
Wake up, you sleepy head. Put on some clothes, shake up your bed. Put another log on the fire for me. I made some breakfast and coffee.
Could you see that? I mean, you talk about the the appeal of David and how he was a fascinating character. I mean, any inkling at all the magnitude of his greatness and his potential at that point?
No, absolutely none. I knew that he was an incredibly talented musician, but none of us were looking in that direction. And I certainly wasn't. The thing that interested me the most was the fact that his charisma, his charm and his professional expertise, and the fact that he was continuously composing new songs. There was a new one almost every week at the Three Tuns. And he was very hardworking and very dedicated, that people were really drawn to him by that. And my apartment, my flat, where I had two children that I was bringing up on my own, was kind of converted into a sort of music scene, the court of King David. And people came from all over and were knocking on the door constantly and coming in and hanging out and making music and smoking dope and generally being hippies. And I had to set some very firm boundaries around that time because, of course, I didn't want it to impact too much on my children.
Mary Finnegan, more from her in a moment. This is Ziggy.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Weird and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up eyes and screw down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. Became on so loaded man, well hung in snow white tan. So where were the spiders while the fly tried to break our bones? Played for time, jiving us that we were voodoo. The kids were just crass. He was the Naz with God-given ass. He took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar. Making love with his ego,
from the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. That was Ziggy Stardust. It's Cortina Nights. I'm Steve Orchard. Coming next, we'll hear a bit more from the former landlady of David Bowie, his concert co-promoter back in 1969. It's Mary Finnegan, and she's next. It's the David Bowie Cortina Nights special. We've been hearing from Mary Finnegan, David Bowie's former landlady and his concert co-promoter. I asked her about those nights in the pub in Beckenham and said, was it David Bowie who was the real star of the show?
I think he was always the star of the show. He compared, and it was his club, yeah, and mine. We did it together. Bowie and Christina helped as well. But he compared, and he did his own long set. And other people played, some of them very famous musicians. Peter Frampton, Rick Wakeman, Dave Cousins, Lyle Bott turned up once. And lots of others who went on to be really solidly part of that particular era's music scene. Not so famous, but certainly to this day, very successful working musicians.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
David, quite early in his career, it was clear that a sense of theatre and dress and impact for the audience, which wasn't just about the music, was going to be a big feature of what he did. Any inkling of that in the early days in the Three Tones?
No, not at all. Absolutely none. He was a scruffy hippie, and he was broke, and he had about 3 pairs of trousers and a couple of jumpers and about 4 shirts, and that was it.
And you became very close. You started a relationship with David, and therefore you knew him very well.
Yes. He staged a very elegant seduction one evening, quite soon after he moved in, and it was absolutely irresistible.
Let's spend the night together.
And have you followed his career since? I mean, obviously that was a very important moment in his formative years. And have you watched his rise as a musician and the various phases it's taken?
Well, I knew him up to and including the point where Ziggy Stardust went into the stratosphere. And so I was aware of him going through those various stages, because even after Space Oddity was a hit initially, he produced another 2 albums, by which time he'd moved out of my place and he and Angie had set up their own home just up the road. And he'd done The Man Who Sold the World and Hunky Dory and a few other singles, and none of them were particularly noticed. I mean, they did okay, but they were not hits. And he was teetering on the edge of recognition. And I think by then there was a certain Conoscenti who knew that he was really something special. But it wasn't until he created Ziggy and Angie put all her flair for style and presentation behind that project that it really took off. And I was around when all that process was happening and when the Ziggy thing exploded onto the music scene. And then after that, I never saw him again or spoke to him again. It was over. And I followed his career kind of by default, because you couldn't avoid it. But I was really not engaged with him anymore. I had other things to do with my life. I went back. I moved to North London and I went back into full-time journalism.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Weird and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars.
Gary, thank you so much for talking to us, and thank you for that very vivid insight. We're playing his music all throughout this evening, and I wonder if I might invite you to select a personal favourite.
Oh, my personal favourite is Heroes. It's not one that he performed or composed during his time in Beckenham.
Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
Was it just the Three Tons that was the venue for your and David's music?
No, there were 2 other things that happened. Well, 3. We played at the Bromley Arts Centre, which was a very respectable arts centre. They invited us. And we did street theatre in Beckenham High Street on Saturday mornings. And we mounted a free festival. It was the UK's first free festival on the 16th of August 1969, when Space Oddity was just climbing through the charts. And it was one of the most ecstatically happy days of my entire life. It was just extraordinary. We were all totally uplifted, except for David, because his father had died a week earlier and he was in deep grief. But you wouldn't have known it because he was a consummate professional and he went on stage and he performed as brilliantly as he ever did.
Maybe I should announce it. Shall I? Memory of a Free Festival.
Children of the summer's end, gathered in the dampened grass, we played our songs and felt the London sky resting on our hands. It was God's land. It was rugged and naive. It was heaven. Touch, we touched the very soul of holding each and every life. We claimed the very source of joy ran through. It didn't, but it seemed that way. I kissed a lot of people that day.
David Bowie with his memories of a Free Festival. And you just heard from Mary Finnegan with her memories of psychedelic suburbia, the Beckenham arts scene. This is Golden Years on Cortina Nights.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come with us, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come with us, baby.
This might be the last that's all. What's I'm thinking you see for little
souls? Come with us, baby. Last night they loved you, opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
come love the baby. In walked luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall, act fine.
Come love the baby.
And it won't be long. Gonna drive back down where you once belonged. In the back of a dream car, 20 foot long. Don't cry, my sweet, don't break my heart. Doing all right, the guys will get smart. Wish upon day upon day. I believe, oh Lord, I'll believe all the way.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come with us, baby. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
I'll stick with you, baby, for a thousand years. Nothing's going to touch you in these golden years.
Oh, yes, yes.
Cortina Knights, and I'm Steve Orchard with our tribute to David Bowie. Those of us who grew up in the 60s and 70s know that the two decades were very, very different. I remember the 60s for the Beatles, for George Best, Sean Connery and Flower Power. The 70s were altogether greyer, duller, more austere. It seemed as if the political, sexual and social liberation that the 60s promised had now ground to a halt. Dull, anodyne pop songs dominated the radio dial. The charts of the 70s were about Mum and Dad, Abigail's Party, and Dancing Around Handbags, Brown Girl in the Ring, Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep, and Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree were the 70s bestsellers. And in the middle of all that was David Bowie. Teenagers all over Britain bought his albums home, studied the artwork on the cover, and pondered, is he a man? Is he a woman? Maybe neither. Maybe both. And what's with his eye? That was before we even got to the music. In 1971, Shirley Bassey was heading up the charts with her version of For All We Know. That was all very well for your mum and dad, but here's what Bowie gave us that year.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. Tortured brow that Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow, and now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rule Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clown. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be written again as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's a freaky show. Take a look at the
is there life on Mars? The question posed by David Bowie. A lot of people voted that their number one all-time greatest David Bowie song this week. Not so sure about that. This one's not too shabby either.
He's waiting in the wings. He speaks of senseless things. His script is you and me. Boy, time, he flexes like a whore, falls to the floor. His trick is you and me. Boy, friends of mine, take your time. The sniper in the brain, regurgitating drain, incestuous and vain. The many other last names. Oh, mama, watch us as nights will imbibe. They know. Not a victim, you just scream with boredom. You are not evicting time.
To enact a lot of the material I was writing rather than perform it as myself. At this moment, I'm performing as myself, but I will continue in the future after I've done what I wish to do at the moment, return back to writing stories, and I will enact them again, and I don't care what anybody says, I like doing it, and it's what I shall continue to do.
Go to bed. Don't forget to turn on the light. Don't laugh, babe, it'll be alright. Pour me out another phone. I'll ring and see if your friends are home. Perhaps the strange ones in the dome can lend us a book. We can meet up alone and try to get it on like once before. When people stared in Jagger's eyes and scorn, like the video films we saw. His name was always Buddy, and shrugging ass to say. She'd sigh like Twink the Wonder Kid and turn her face away. A crash course for the ravers. It's a driving Saturday. Young the foreman prayed at work. Neither hands nor limbs would burst. It's hard enough to keep formation amid this fallout saturation. Cursing at the astronet that stands in steel by his cabinet. He's crashing out with Sylvia. Euro supply for aging men. With snorting head he gazes to the shore. Once it raged, the sea that raged no more. Like the video films he saw. Sigh like Twink the Wonder Kid and turn her face away. She's uncertain if she likes him, but she knows she really loves him. It's a crash course for the ravers.
Just one huge hit after another, and all by the same bloke. It's the David Bowie tribute here on Cortina Nights. That's Driving Saturday. We've still got an over an hour of superb music still to play. So don't you go anywhere. This is Young Americans.
fridge, he lays her down. He frowns, gee, my life's a funny thing. Am I still too young? He kissed the then and there. She took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken anything.
All night.
She was a young American. Was the young American standing right through the picture window? She finds his slinky back upon, because as he passes a foot in the sting, heaven forbid she's taking the thing. But the freak and his title for nothing. This is a step and cuts his hand, showing nothing. It swoops like a song. She cries, where have all Papa's heroes gone? She wants a young American.
Young American, young American. She wants a young American. All night.
Well, she wants a young American. All the way from Washington. Her breadwinner begs off the bathroom floor. We live for just these 20 years. Do we have to die for the 50 more?
All night.
She wants a young American. Do you remember the bills you have to pay?